Well, joining me now is Karen Kingston. Karen, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. Hey, Karen, are you muted or is that on our end? It's on our end. How you doing, Karen?
I was muted. How are you? Sorry about that. I'm good. It's always good to be back. So
you too.
I was actually perusing our old interviews. So you're like, bring the big news. I was like, we can just go back to October 2020 of last year. What's going on has been pre-planned, premeditated. I mean, the big news isn't, you know, I have the evidence in my Substack, but I actually looked at what an interview that you and I did October 21st of last year, and it's considered breaking news to a lot of people.
So that's quite common that you report on things here on our show, and 2 or 3 months later, it's the big breaking news, like you never said it here on this show.
Oh, that's not the point.
I think it is the point, because the point is our show is cutting edge because we brought people like you on, and it is the point. The point is people can know stuff 2-3 months before it's mainstream if they just tune into the show. Help me out here, Karen.
Okay, well, or a year. Actually, this is a year.
A year, all right.
At a time. So, I have my Substack up, and the last one I just wrote was Intended Consequences. And honestly, Brandon, it's what I covered on your show October of last year. It's the FDA submission, the Pfizer submission to the FDA, where it clearly states in their submissions, one, that this is a gene editing technology. It's not a vaccine. Under the manufacturing, they say that there is a nucleotide substitution, which is the definition of genetic mutations.
Right.
From the submission, they don't know how this is going to prevent infection from SARS-CoV-2. It says in the submission, 409 people became severely ill within 1 week of the first or second dose. It says in the submission from the FDA's opinion, they opined, we've never authorized or approved a vaccine that doesn't prevent severe disease, but we're doing it with this one. It says in the submission that a teenager between the ages of 16 and 17 broke their face, likely from fainting, after being injected. And Pfizer said, well, we don't want to say it was from the injection. It says in the submission, 100 children suffered from reactogenicity, or actually 100 children were injected. And the reactogenicity data, which was defined as heart attacks, heart inflammation, inflammation of the spinal cord, inflammation of the brain, strokes, paralysis, epileptic fits, chronic multi-system inflammatory syndrome, blood clotting, erasure of your blood platelets, thrombocytopenia, and death. 100 children were injected, and they had these consequences that was high enough that Pfizer said, cover it up. Don't show the public this information. So the concept that the authorization or the approval of the vaccines and the idea that they didn't know that manufacturing the spike protein in the body, which is not biological either, it says in the documents of the inventors and actually in the FDA submissions, it is biosynthetic. It contains a 2-proline mutation. So that means it's not organic. So the concept that this was ever going to provide any kind of efficacy in preventing infection, the evidence is in the submissions from Pfizer to the FDA, you know, and it's fraud. And it's not fraud in that Pfizer covered up the data. They didn't cover up the data. They submitted the data. They showed that their injections were causing disease, disabilities, and death. And they said, let's just not disclose it to the American people. They said to the FDA, this is a gene editing technology. It's not a gene editing therapy or gene therapy, because a therapy is used to treat or cure a disease. And the September 18th debrief from Pfizer and the FDA says, look, you know, when we vaccinate people over time, their risk of infection increases. We took our placebo group. They had a relatively low infection rate. Once we inject them, they also become infected. And as time increases, once you get 2 doses of the Pfizer injection, your risk of developing COVID-19 increases over time. So they state it causes disease. It doesn't even meet the standard of the new bogus, if you will, definition of a vaccine from the FDA, because the definition is the indication, which is that Comirnaty prevents COVID-19 disease caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus infection. And Pfizer's data and Pfizer themselves say, nope, once you get 2 shots, you're more likely to become infected and suffer COVID-19 than if you remain uninjected or unvaccinated. So, I mean, that's the breaking story. But honestly, Brandon, I've broken this with your audience before. And I think the thing is what we talked about in October of last year, maybe this is what we talk about, is why hasn't anyone in our government, why hasn't anyone at the local level, why hasn't any governor, why hasn't any attorney general, why hasn't any senator, why hasn't any attorney prosecuted Fauci or Pfizer?
Well, with that being said, I have a video clip I'd like to play you, because I agree. I have a video clip I'd like to play you from Senator Rand Paul. Watch and listen to this, folks, and we'll have Karen respond.
Let me count the ways. Likely there is no public figure or public health figure that has made a greater error in judgment than Dr. Fauci. The error in judgment was to fund gain-of-function research in a totalitarian country, fund research that allowed them to create superviruses that in all likelihood accidentally leaked into the public and caused 7 million people to die. Think about it. This is right up there with decisions, some of them malevolent or military, to kill millions of people. This accidental, but it goes to judgment. Talk about errors. You think he might apologize to the world for funding research that allowed superviruses to be created in a lab that was not properly outfitted for safety, that people were already reporting was dangerous, to support that type of research and then to look the other way and say nothing to see here and to cover it up. For the last 2 years, he's been covering his tracks, but we've got him red-handed and he won't get away. Historically, he will be remembered for one of the worst judgments in the history of modern medicine.
And I think they used the word 7 million in that article, or in that report, and in the subsequent article it's tied to. Yeah, Rand Paul, Fauci caused 7 million people to die. We've caught him red-handed. He won't get away. You know, it's ironic. I'm glad Fox News is doing this, but I remember sitting on the radio live in early 2020 and reporting with people about this coming out of China, and Fox News was reporting that anyone that said this was coming from China and the Wuhan Institute was promoting a conspiracy theory. Do you remember Fox News pushing that narrative that we were pushing a conspiracy theory if we said it came out of the Wuhan Institute, that laboratory? And yet, of course, now here we are. Fox News, of course, has a long history, I believe, of being a purveyor of fake news and misinformation until they can no longer do that. Then they flip and change. Then they have no choice but to get on the right side of the issue so they can still have some credibility, so they can lure more people in, so they can then turn around and push the propaganda they hope you'll accept until that becomes so obvious that's not true. They admit that the truth is the truth, again, preserving your listenership and your credibility, so they can offer you up another lie another day for as long as it will go. That's what I think Fox News is controlled opposition, in my opinion.
I remember the media just saying you couldn't say this came out of China. I do remember that. So that's that was pretty pervasive.
You remember the media saying it's a conspiracy theory to say it comes out of China.
Yeah, just in general the media.
I had Fox News on a huge television screen.
There's a woman called Kennedy on Fox, and she was saying early on that it came out of China, and then she was on Fox, and then she got in trouble. So I don't, you know. But at the end of the day,
the point is Fox was criticizing any of us that were speaking the truth.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't watch Fox. I just remember in general that's what it is. And I think, but even that report there, they're saying that it, you know, I'm sorry, Rand Paul saying that this was a gain of function virus, as if it's a biological, synthetically created, but biological virus that's infectious. And it's not. If you take a look at Ralph Baric's research, and if you take a look at the DARPA pitch that EcoHealth Alliance made, where they list Ralph Baric, Peter Daszak, and Dr. Xi Zhang Li out of Wuhan, it states that they weren't weaponizing Baric's coronaviruses. They state Baric's coronaviruses that are created from the mRNA technology are lamed up in inventions. They can't infect people. It states that they took the sequences from SARS-CoV-2 and other coronaviruses that were made with mRNA technology that Ralph Baric owns. They infected cells in a lab. Then when they took those infected cells, and by they, I specifically actually mean Barney Graham and Jason McClellan, Barney Grounds of the NIAID, along with working with Ralph Barrick. Anyway, they created these spike proteins. They weaponized the spike proteins by putting in synthetic proline. So again, that's not organic. And then they merged it with the lipid nanoparticle technology. And then in that DARPA pitch, they state, we're going to infect bats by an aerosol spray in their cave. So we're going to spray them down with this lipid nanoparticle technology that will then produce a bioweapon, a weaponized spike protein that's part synthetic in the bat's bodies. We can also take this lipid nanoparticle technology and we can give it to the bats to eat or drink, or we can give them a gel that they can put on, that we can put on their skin, and then they can infect each other too when they're grooming one another. That's what the pitch says. And now, you know, maybe they were like, well, what is Karen talking about lipid nanoparticle technology? That's a strange term. It's actually the term that's in the ingredients for Pfizer's vaccines. So you can also deliver the bioweapon, which is the mRNA gene editing technology, in the lipid nanoparticles that are in the vaccines. And they can produce anything in your body, including these weaponized spike proteins. So this, it wasn't a, that's the thing. I think that's important too, is because Secretary Azar made declarations on January, I think was it January 4th? Yeah. And then, or January 27th, that we, you know, that there was a public threat to public safety, national public safety, because of a SARS-CoV-2 virus of confirmed cases. Well, they hadn't even allegedly isolated the virus yet. There was just some kind of sequence that was uploaded to GenBank on January 10th of this novel coronavirus. And it hadn't even been named SARS-CoV-2. So how did they have confirmed cases if they hadn't even named it and named the sequence? I mean, it's bizarre. So the whole declaration that there was a virus that was infecting people is based on fraud. And it wasn't an accidental leak, because clearly you needed the nanoparticle technology to infect people with this mRNA that then caused toxins in the body. So, I mean, it's all based on fraud. But I think what's happening, Brannon, is that so many people have agreed to, you know, whether it's out of financial incentive, whether it's out of the comfort of the groups that they're in, whether they're political or doctors, you know, they're not blind to what's happening to the American people and our children. You know, the police in Nazi Germany were not blind when they were, you know, loading innocent Jews and gypsies onto trucks to be exterminated.
Well, wait a minute. You didn't get the news flash from Kanye West? The Holocaust didn't happen? What are you talking about, Jews being loaded? You didn't get the news flash? And all the conservatives running around the last 5 weeks defending him? Give me a break.
Well, let me finish. So what happened is, you know, the police officers were told, you know, by the SS, look, you know, we're going to exterminate people. It's going to happen with or without you. So you might as well, be part of this. Otherwise, it's not going to work out well for you. And I'm not saying that's what was told to all of these people. But, believe you me, I'm sure there are some leaders in our government that were like, look, this is what's going to happen. You might as well go along, you know, walk the line with the lies. Because at the end of the day, why did World War II happen? It happened because people agreed to allow for the extermination of their fellow citizens in exchange for the comfort of either financial gain or to be kept inside of their social circles. They didn't want to be ostracized. And that's what's happening. Yep. It's not because the evidence isn't there. What I'm talking about right now on your show, people can get on my Substack. I suggest you read Intended Consequences on Karen Kingston's Substack. It's very easy to read, and it's laid out that this was premeditated with easy documents, and it's non-inflammatory, and it can stand up in a court of law. And it's just the KarenKingston.substack, and read the, it's free, Intended Consequences. So at the end of the day, people are going against their conscience to not cause others to be to inflict suffering, harm, injury, and death on them. They're going against their conscience in exchange to being accepted in their groups, whether they're doctors or nurses, school boards or political leaders. I mean, you can't tell me school boards don't know children are being harmed by these injections, but they're going along with it for the comfort of their social acceptance and for financial gain. And that is, unfortunately, the nature of evil in human beings. When they don't understand who they are, how they were created in God, when they don't give their life over to Christ, you know, truly give their life over to Christ and serve Christ and serve humanity through that love that they have for God. they're willing to compromise things. And it's not, you know, I'm sorry that people are baffled by this, you know, but at the end of the day, this is not new in humanity. People are willing to risk the suffering of others for their own personal gain. That's unfortunately what is going on. Mm-hmm. So I think what needs to happen is people need to be able to articulate what exactly happened. And there's so much chaos. You know, at the end of the day, if you look at the numbers, what happened in 2020 in regards to these alleged viral infections, there was no virus. There wasn't. They never were able to identify it. The PCR tests are 97% false, right? It was an intentionally released bioweapon that's encapsulated in this nanotechnology. So that's first of all, right? So, you know, and then they were gaslit into believing that this was highly infectious and we needed to shut down the nation and it was a threat to national security. And then the FDA authorization and approval for these injections, and I'm specifically talking about Pfizer because that's what I've analyzed, it's clear that as a emergency use medical countermeasure, a military countermeasure, it's clear that these were intended to cause injury, disease, disabilities, and death. And under EUA law, apparently, it's okay for our federal government and our military to unleash a bioweapon, a chemical bio, you know, basically a medical countermeasure that can cause a threat to public safety that's a threat to national security. So they knew they were unleashing a bioweapon. And we've talked about this, Brannon. James Giordano talks about using lipid nanoparticle technology as a neuroweapon and as a weapon of mass destruction. And on his website, he talks about, hey, look, let's not talk about lipid nanoparticle technology, which, by the way, is in every single mRNA injection. He goes, let's not talk about it as a bioweapon and a weapon of mass destruction. He goes, because it's so deadly that we can't even unleash it on a civilian population of an enemy. It goes against chemical and biological warfare. But what we can do is under medical experimentation, we can expose people to this bioweapon technology as a medical countermeasure, and we don't have to be transparent about what we are exposing people to, because under experiments, if we partner with a private party, such as Pfizer and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and whatnot, then under intellectual property laws, we don't have to disclose, you know, that people are actually being injected with a bioweapon, you know, or a weapon of mass destruction, as James Giordano describes it. So that's what's happened. I think, you know, your other guest was talking about too. It's like, you know, people keep changing words that they have no meaning anymore, you know, whether it's a conservative Republican or whether it's a man or a woman. And I fully believe now that the whole, you know, beginning in 2018, they started the media and politicians and, you know, certain groups started to say to us, look, there's no difference between a man and a woman. And, you know, I believe that was a social and psychological test to see if they can actually convince American citizens to believe that, or what's equal to believing it is at least agreeing to it and not having the courage to stand in the truth and say, no, there is a difference between a man and a woman. Because if we can convince you to go along and state that there's no difference between a man or a woman, how hard would it be to convince you that a bioweapon's a vaccine? I mean, that's a lot less difficult than to convince you that there's no difference between a man and a woman, especially when the bioweapon is something that you've never heard of. You don't know about this technology, so we'll just call it a vaccine.
Nor can you know what it consists of, what's really in it, right?
Yeah, and then if, you know, someone comes forward and shows people what's in it, you know, again, it's something that we've never talked about before. This research and development and this technology has been truly developed in the dark, in the darkness. And so it's unbelievable to people, you know.
Yeah.
And some of the criticism of died suddenly is those fibrous, they're calling them blood clots, but they're biosynthetic fibrous structures that are biosynthetic. That means they're bioengineered. That means the cells inside the human body are manufacturing these tissue-like structures that are part biology and part technology. They're part organic and inorganic. And, you know, everyone's saying, oh, that's, you know, that's not true. This has happened before. It's never happened before. I mean, a teenager playing football in Ohio had 6 feet of these synthetic clots removed from his body. So the whole theory that they spontaneously show up after you die, you know, some doctors are saying that's simply false. There aren't 3, 4, 5, 6 feet of clots showing up in dead people after they die. This has never happened before in humanity. But if you actually look at the patents on Moderna's website for their technology, it states it contains pegylated lipids with hydrogels that are meant for biosynthetic bioengineering tissues inside cells inside the animals' bodies.
Wow.
We are the animals. So Karen, that's what's going on.
Karen Kingston, as always, put her info back up there. If you guys like her work, want to support her work, throw that back up there, Thomas. There we go. GiveSendGo.com/Kingston. GiveSendGo.com/Kingston. As always, we appreciate your valuable research. I know people are glad to have you back and see you again. It's been a month or two since we had you due to our crazy schedule, but so glad to have you back and giving us reports, Karen.
Thank you. I just want people to know the truth. Please go to the Substack, KarenKingston.substack. Look at intended consequences. If we can articulate who we are first as American citizens, our unalienable God-given rights, and that a crime has been committed against us, then the darkness has to flee. But
absolutely.
We have been unable to articulate that for some reason.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Karen Kingston, checking in. Check out her site, her Substack, too. Just go to Substack.com and check out and search Karen Kingston. You'll find it.